You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio Show on 3CR Radical Radio. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, and we're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we've been broadcasting on 3CR since about 2008, 2009, what's a year or so, when it's almost, you know, pretty long time. And we're about cycling, micro-mobility, urban transport, adventures, urban adventures, advocacy, and all bunches, heaps of things. And just want to start the show off with a bit of news from up north. It was very sad to hear the news over from Wednesday night when it started getting out. I was actually putting together a newsletter for Yarrabug, and I thought I'd click over to Off Course Bike Shop's Instagram thing to recheck a thing for their garage sale. And so many of you, I saw the news of there was a fire. Of course, many of you would know previously it was commuter cycles, same people, same crew, absolute beating heart of Melbourne's cycling community, like a lot of bike shops around here. And there's been some things swirling around about it. And I thought, look, I can say a whole bunch of things, but I think it's better off if I let, I'll just play a reel from Hugh, who's one of the co-owners, in a moment. But I also must say today on today's show, we've got a couple of live guests. And just quickly introduce yourselves before we start.
Thanks for having us on, Chris. My name's Tim Dow, and I'm joined here with...
Stephanie Mulder, and we're from Mosey Guide.
Excellent. So anyway, I'm just going to play this thing from Hugh, because I just thought, you know, you're sitting here and we might as well just have a quick chat, and then I'll play this in a moment after Scratching Morven Star plays out. You know I'm coming home. What?
Hi everyone, Hugh here, just to give you a bit of an update on where things are at. Number one, we're all okay, no one was in the building, it was after hours, so thankfully no one's hurt, and everyone in the adjacent area was able to get out and let the fireys do their incredible work. I also want to say thank you to the insane outpouring of love that we've had from our community. It means a lot. We're getting every message. We're not responding at this stage because, you know, we've got a lot on our plate, but we feel the love, so thank you. So what happened? The bits that we do know, at around 9:30 on Wednesday night, a fire started in the workshop. We don't know how. It's not suspicious. It's not being treated as suspicious, but it started internally a few hours after everyone had left, and unfortunately it's basically gutted the entire building. So the entire workshop, all the stock, pretty much everything is gone. The only good news is on two fronts. One, we have a storage site literally over the road where we have some excess stock. So not everything was lost. And secondly, that means we have a home where we can begin to rebuild from. We're there at the moment trying to wrap our heads around how we proceed, but we have a home and we have some stock. So everything is not lost. The other good news is that we are insured. On paper, assuming the insurance goes to plan and we are covered in the ways that we anticipate we are covered, there is a path to us getting back on our feet. The insurance assessors are literally coming in the next 15 minutes, so we will soon have a better understanding of how that process looks, how long it might take, etc., etc. But fingers crossed, that'll go smoothly. Finally, again, coming back to just the insane amount of love that we've been shown, there will come a time very soon where people can demonstrate their support and already we've had the postie put down a tab at the local cafe, we've had people offering food, etc. So, but for now, we are all okay. We're working this out with the insurers, and when we have a way of people supporting us, we will let you know. So stand by. Thanks again for everything so far, and we will get through this together. At the risk of being a downer, we can just give you a little bit of a look. We're not allowed inside the building. We made it safe yesterday, but we can give you a bit of a look at the extent of the damage.
And that was a reel that Hugh put out on Instagram showing and talking about what happened at Off Course. So stay tuned for more details. Bit of a downer, but let's bring it up. We're going to be talking about what you're up to. And there was a thing from Melbourne Design Week. Do you want to just kind of start off about a bit about Melbourne Design Week?
Yeah, absolutely. So Melbourne Design Week is a little longer than a week. It could almost be called Melbourne Design Fortnight. It's about 10 days or 11 days long, where it's organised by a team at the NGV, and they do a call out to the design community seeking EOIs for people to organise events. It's a competitive process, so lots of submissions go in, and we were one of the lucky ones that got selected to run an event, or a couple of events, and the one that caught Chris's eye was the Northside Design Ride, which was a guided ride that started in Collingwood and went through a range of different suburbs, including Abbotsford and Fitzroy. And we went to a range of different spaces to meet the designers and the design organisations that make those suburbs amazing for us, that we love seeing and hearing about. So we led the tour, so I was at the front of the group and Steph was at the back, and we had 25 participants on a range of bikes. We had sort of electric mountain bikes and Bromptons, and I was on a 80s Malvern Star, and Steph was on a big Dutch step through. And yeah, we kind of rolled around. It was a little chaotic. We went a little over time. It's quite hard wrangling 25 people on and off bikes at different design studios. But yeah, it was great. We started at a coffee shop. We had a bit of an intro from a good friend of ours who's a photographer about how to take photos on analog film cameras. Everyone got disposable cameras, and we got all the participants to document the ride from their perspective, as we visited a range of different places. So we saw galleries as well as studio spaces from ceramist artists and, a whole suite of different places that we went to. And we thought it was a huge success. All the participants seemed to have fun. It's great.
I think one of the main takeaways for me was that we had people on the ride that live in Clifton Hill and Collingwood, and obviously it's their home neighbourhood, but we were able to show them places in the back streets and kind of down alleyways that they didn't know about. So they actually got the chance to learn something new about their own neighbourhood, and it was that idea of slowing down and properly exploring the places around you, which is kind of our philosophy of our broader Mosey project.
Do you want to just touch base about, the overarching thing on this, that the because it's a great name.
Yeah. Well, it's we love to explore places. we love travelling. We love going to neighbourhoods and spending time there, walking and riding around those neighbourhoods, discovering places that are not necessarily the tourist attractions that everyone goes to. And we spend a long time putting together... we spend a long time before we travel somewhere doing research and putting together a complicated Google map with hundreds of pins on it. We found ourselves sharing those maps with our friends often. So, you know, we'd go to Tokyo and have 9,000 pins on a map and share that with friends who then go to Tokyo, you know, years after. So we decided to sort of formalise that, and we started Mosey Guides together.
Almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. It's flown by. To sort of formalise that ability to share digital neighbourhood guides with people beyond our immediate friendship group. The guides are all places that we've been to. They only include venues that we've personally visited and love and want to share. So we've got a range of free and paid guides on our website, which people can access. We've got all of the social media platforms, which you can find us on and follow us on. But yeah, we write digital neighbourhood guides that are for areas that can be explored on foot or on bike. So it's a smaller format, not like a city guide. They're neighbourhood guides, which are interesting.
Sort of what, I don't know if this is still in use, but they use a hyperlocal, but that might be a little thing. Like, from the perspective of someone who's been around the inner city like forever, the stuff here I don't know about. Mm. And it's not because, you know, you're disinterested or whatever. Things change, go, and something you might have been there 50, 60 years, you may have not known about, architectural sort of stuff. And also, it would have been absolutely amazing for you to try and design this design ride without, you know, getting into alliteration, of the inner north is just so rich in. So it was, I don't want to preempt the guide too much, but, because, you got to keep that hook of interest. But what was a kind of a couple of highlights or funny anecdotes or something that really stuck out for you for travelling around?
I think one of the fun ones for us was that we did a recce a couple of days before the actual ride, just to make sure we had the route all correct and we were comfortable with which laneways to turn down. And we were also visiting some of the other Design Week events, and we came across a venue and an event that we had no idea existed in the back street of Collingwood, and we absolutely fell in love with it. We spoke to the people that run the space and one of the curators of the exhibition that was showing, and we just thought it was so brilliant that we had to make it a last minute addition to our ride. And I think it was probably one of the highlights for our participants as well. So it was at Art Bank Australia, which is a fascinating venue in itself, and the exhibition was called Reborn, which is a collaboration between Cultivated, who is a Melbourne-based furniture business, and Romance Was Born, which is a Sydney fashion label. So the exhibition is absolutely outstanding. It's been extended for, I believe, another 7 weeks.
Yep.
It's only open during the week, during the hours of Art Bank, Monday to Friday, but if anyone can make it down, we highly recommend it. It's absolutely stunning, and the Art Bank space itself is absolutely mind-blowing. So, yeah, it was really fantastic that we discovered something ourselves, and we just wanted to share it, and that's kind of...
Yeah, that's the thing about the inner north, like in terms around here, a lot of reused or redeveloped sort of industrial sites. Just to name drop a bit, was Friday night. We had the Critical Mass ride kind of come up through the inner north and ended up in Darling Gardens and came back down. And after we all finished up, I was walking back through the back streets, and it was just like a short half block walk. And I remembered like where three different galleries used to be. I mean, they all moved on to other different things or other stages of the development, whatever. But I'm just thinking, the place is just so rich.
Yeah.
With either artistic, creative, design work, and good coffee.
Absolutely.
100%.
And I noticed you've got a Mary Creek trail.
Which is one of our free guides.
Yeah.
So that was a fun one. That was probably the first time we led sort of a tour group of people rather than sort of writing digital guides and sending them out into the world. We met in Northcote as a group, of course, at a coffee shop. Seems to be a recurring theme. And then, yeah, moseyed our way sort of north along Mary Creek, stopping in at some of our favourite venues, including Alex Bakes, which is an amazing bakery, which if people don't know about, they should definitely go and try the food there.
Authentic French croissants. Yeah. Probably the best that we've found so far in Australia, yep. I would say.
That's a big call.
It's a very big call. Yeah, we'll stand by it.
We'll stand by it.
We'll stand by it. Oh, yeah. I've got to go check this out because absolutely. I'm not that far away from there.
Yeah.
So, again, you've just educated me to, like, I better go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the other thing too. All these things are nearby.
Yep.
They're, you know, moderately to, you know, it's within most people's price range or whatever. All the experiences, you know, most people's, you know. Do you, with these design guides, do you kind of link into any digital stuff like, you know, like I was just thinking about with rides, we do things like ride with GPS or any of that sort of stuff. Do you have any, like, you know, what goes into any open data sort of stuff, or is it just more of a analog sort of?
Yeah, so the guides themselves exist on the website, so you access them through the website, and that includes like an interactive map. So for the tour guides that are, you know, like an actual route, that's drawn on a interactive GPS map that people can access. And we're with the Melbourne Design Week events that we organised, we've introduced sort of a new layer of information for people where we have heard from designers talk about their work or talk about the space. We've done audio recordings of those, so they're now nested into both the map and the digital guide itself. So as people sort of move through the guide, they can listen to and hear from the speakers that we sort of met and heard from on the day, which we think, yeah, people will like. We haven't released any of those yet. They're coming out very, very soon. But, yeah, we think that'll be a nice, rich layer that sort of adds to the experience as people explore.
And any kind of like takeouts from like designing these of like you've given out things of like you discovering of something you haven't, you know, haven't considered before when you've been pulling these guides together?
Probably our ambition when we, our litmus test, I'd say, when we create the guides is whether we would enjoy it and whether we would go back to a venue. So we kind of use ourselves as a target market. But one of the lovely things that we've discovered over the last 2 years, and especially with the tours for Design Week, is the much broader kind of appeal. So for the Northside Design Ride, we had someone as young as a toddler along with us, and then people that were in their 70s, and that broad range appeal, and people that aren't necessarily designers, they're just wanting to explore their own neighbourhoods. I think that's been a really kind of nice part of it, is this much broader appeal of what we're doing.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that really surprised me, we did a walking tour in the city, which is slightly adjacent to the cycling guide, but the designers themselves really loved just having sort of time and space to be able to talk while moving between places as well. So there's this, you know, sort of performative component of giving a talk about their design work, but then being able to just sort of spend time with people and talk and interface was really rich and enjoyed by the people that we've taken on the tours. So I think the format is really interesting, and the way that it gives people space and time to sort of enjoy it more has been really surprising.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too, connection, whether that's with the people that they're touring with or connecting with the places that they're going into and kind of exploring.
Yeah.
So how can people get in touch, get involved?
Absolutely. Well, we've got, you know, as I said before, we've got social media platforms. So they're all sort of mosey.guide on Instagram and Facebook and the like. And conveniently, our website is also mosey.guide. So mosey.guide. I think my spelling's correct. But they can reach us through that website or through the social media channels where we run them. We don't have a media manager or anything, so
it's our passion project.
Yeah,
I didn't know you could get .guide as a domain.
Mm.
But then again, you know, I'm constantly surprised by things in the digital space at the moment. It was like, okay, that sounds absolutely just engrossing in terms of like the kind of a different way of looking at the way that, how can we put it? We're very experienced, or I'm just trying to get my head around the whole tourism industry thing. I'm just trying to pull an anecdote out of thin air, and I'm failing miserably of what we build up our expectations to. You know, everything's got to be the best thing ever with all this kind of add-ons and stuff. And you have done something really quite special and unique here, I think. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. We get some interesting people buying guides who are really passionate about a particular neighbourhood. So we've got some guides in Paris for particular neighbourhoods, and they obviously love those neighbourhoods, and they reach out to us directly and they're like, we've never seen a guide for Batignolles or Saint-Amboise. And the same here in Melbourne. Like, we've got a guide for Footscray and Thornbury and North Melbourne, and people who live and breathe North Melbourne love seeing themselves represented, you know, like there's some real pride in their neighbourhood and their community. So yeah, we're really enjoying that sort of feedback loop, which is nice.
And anything, just, you know, summing up, what's your future plans? Or
we're hoping to get back overseas later this year and hopefully put together a couple more guides, ideally, hopefully in France, which would be great. We're about to launch a new guide for Dublin. We've just finished writing that one. And we are also hoping to do another couple of tours maybe later in the year in Melbourne and potentially interstate too. But we won't say too much about that just yet.
Yep. Yeah, you got to keep people, you know,
wanting
interested.
More.
That's it. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm quite engrossed by your Merri Creek one. So it's kind of like you're going to kind of stick to the walking, cycling sort of thing. You're not going to go into, like, you know, you're going to do some supported event or anything like that, or that's just...
No, I think moving slowly. Yeah, that's a core component to what we're sort of all about at Mosey, is that slow travel mentality. So there's something really nice about being able to move at a slower pace where you can stop when and as you want. We often will be, you know, moving somewhere and you'll see something that catches your eye down a laneway. Like, we were walking in the city the other day and we saw a frame for an art show and it was just like, oh, do you want to check it out? And you spend like 20 seconds like tossing up whether you got time to go in and have a look. But you're able to do that. If you're in a car, you have to find parking. You know, it's a lot more, you know, it's labored. Whereas when you're walking or you're on a bike, you're able to sort of take that time, engage with the world around you, hear the noises that are around you, and stop when and as you want and go and explore it. So it's definitely a deliberate part of what we're all about.
Mm.
No, I think you summed that up perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an absolute joy having you in here today because, you know, I'm experimenting with doing hour-long programs, and a lot of the stuff I do it on people when people have got time.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being, you know, I do a bit of production because it's pre-recorded, and it's just glorious that you can actually make time and actually kind of show what you're doing. You know, it's the interaction and doing a live studio interview is really lovely, and I appreciate the time you've taken. Because, you know, some of our interactions, I thought I was really concerned about what the weather was going to be like today, because we'll find out later this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to blow in, that's for sure.
That's it.
Yeah, it's like, well, perfect this morning.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks
we really
for the invitation.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like so many community organisations, we need your continued financial support to keep 3CR on air and our community connected and strong.
Consider selecting Auto Renew for your subscription so your subscription keeps rolling on every year.
We love the security of knowing we have your support into the future.
Head to 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 and remember to select recurring for your annual subscription.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Ways around the wheat hail at the twilight's less gleaming. Through broad stripes of bright stars, through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, oh, see, can you see? Arms bursting in air, in the roof of the night, the dark sand was still there. Oh, see, does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free? And one more thing.
Can I take your country? Oh, baby, baby, can I take your country? Oh, baby, baby, can I take your country? Oh, baby, baby, can I take your country? And take your country. Around that we hail at the twilight's last gleaming. Broad stripes of bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
And the rocket's red glare,
see, can you see?
Arms bursting in air, in the roof of the night,
see,
the dark flag is still there. Oh, see, does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Sing as that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free. And one more thing.
Can I take your country? Oh, baby, baby, 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 can I take your country? Take your country. Countries, planets, stars, so far. Don't let freedom fade, baby, let's invade. Can I play trees, planet stars, galaxy so far. Don't let freedom fade, baby, let's invade. Can I play trees, planet stars.
Less gleaming, his blood stripes of white stars.
See, can you see
the bear of the spy?
Where
the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Can
oh, say, does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free? And one more thing.
Can I take your country? Oh, baby, baby, 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 can I take your country? Take your country. Baby, let's invade.
And you're listening to Yarra Bicycle User Group Radio on 3CR Community Radio. And that was Sparks, Can I Invade Your Country? And I was playing that because if many people across Melbourne would know, Thursday night is when Sparks played in Melbourne down at the Palais. And it was a massive love fest. A band that's been around since the late 60s. And it's just incredible seeing Ron and Russell just still out there doing it. You know, Ron's what? Dare I say it, 80? His little brother is a few years younger, and it was one of the best gigs I've ever seen. Okay, bicycle adjacent sort of stuff to this, but what a gig. Anyway, we're back talking about bikes. Now, I did have something lined up here, and it was going to be about some upcoming news that this week the Dixon Veloway was going to be closed for maintenance overnight. Now, I just can't bring it up because it's just thrown me into another Gmail account, and I've got too many Gmail accounts. And if it will come up, yes, here we go. The Dixon Veloway cycling, the bridge cycleway sort of thing out in the west, is going to be closed overnight between 3rd and 4th of June for maintenance between Footscray and West Melbourne. You'll be still able to ride using the shared path to Footscray Road from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. The Dixon Veloway will reopen again for riders on the 5th of June. Hope that made sense. Go to bigbill.vic.gov.au for updates if I've incorrectly given any details there. And I must back announce something I said in the previous interview with Mosley Guides was Friday night at Critical Mass. Massive ride. Big City Lights. It was the second year that we've done it. And this year we went on a bit of a tour of Richmond, Abbotsford, Collingwood and Clifton Hill and had a fabulous time. It's one of those things of showing people what city streets can be like when you can just ride, have fun and not be kind of, you know, have stressors and be in fear of anything. I saw some incredible things on Friday night. I keep on going back to Wednesday, unfortunately, because that's when something very bad happened. But as you heard in the intro, I played that reel from Hugh that they're fine and just touch base with off course bikes. I think they're going to pull through this. Now on to today. I've got another live guest, and if you're listening in, you would know that. Oh my God, Chris is doing another hour long program. Yep. Okay, we have another guest. Do you want to introduce yourself and just start off with an anecdote or something?
Yeah, of course. So, hi everyone. I'm Michael. I'm the owner and digital creator of Fuji Roll, which is a cycling Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts page that showcases basically everything around Melbourne biking. It's a very slow approach, you know, taking slow videos paired with some nice music on pretty streets in Melbourne, things that are happening, and anything interesting.
Yeah, you could do lots of depth with this in terms of, you know, going for the coffee run or something a little more involved.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we recently did one, was it last weekend or the weekend before, with Mosey for their design ride. That was great. That was, you know, showcasing, I'm sure you guys just heard about it, but design and galleries and interesting things around the northern suburbs. And so, yeah, anything like that, just a classic coffee run, anything that, you know, brings joy, I sort of just record.
And whimsy. So, yeah, that's the thing that actually kind of like how today's show happened, is because I saw your reel and I'm going, we put it into the newsletter a month or two back that the design ride was happening, and then I've kind of like, you know, you get busy and you've recorded it. Yeah, part thereof. You know, I'm not going to give the thing in great detail because, you know, it's up to people to go and explore this. But that's what, you know, that's a case in point of you put something out and people get intrigued and interested.
Yeah. That was definitely our best performing. You know, my profession is actually a digital marketer, so I talk in terms of metrics. But this one was by far the best. It's organic, so, you know, it was shared through the Mosey socials as well. That seriously helped, and I think it reached like a like-minded audience, which was perfect. And from there, the one, although I posted a reel recently as well, that sort of had nothing to do with the Mosey ride. It was just riding down Smith Street, right outside on a really cold, misty morning. And that one has also done really well. It's just, you know, the extrapolation of performance.
Well, it's showing people what, you know, I've seen Smith Street just change so much since the early 90s, and it can get better. It can get a lot better. A lot of things around the Inner North can get a lot better if people allow it and we get better leaders, which actually was a theme, if I just want to jump off there for a moment, was on Critical Mass on Friday night. Was like, yeah, if you want things to happen, get yourself some better leaders, either at state or your local council. Now, how did you kind of fall into or kind of get into the whole bicycle adjacent sort of thing? You know, you want to chat about that?
Yeah, of course. So I... you can probably tell by the accent, I'm from New Zealand, from a little place called Wellington. Well, it's not that little in terms of New Zealand, it's the capital. But I moved to Melbourne 2.5 years ago. And when I first moved here, I didn't have a job for the first few weeks. And while I was searching for a job, I thought it would be a really good opportunity to see the city through the bike. That was my primary means of transport and still is to this day. It was just something that brought me an immense amount of joy, really. Just cycling around, trying to find the local coffee shops, hidden things, you know, pretty rides, going by the Yarra, nice trees, anything like that. I just wanted to see it all.
It inadvertently, you know, I mean, okay, the show's been going for a while, but it's, I keep coming back to this theme of Melbourne is a cycling city and most people haven't actually discovered it yet.
Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah. You should see Wellington. It's, the amount of hills is insane. Melbourne, in comparison, is very flat. I know Wellington's been improving their bicycle infrastructure, but from even these main streets here, the lanes are actually quite nice in comparison.
Yeah, and you know, again, if you want to have that thing of participation, it doesn't take much. We just seem to be at this moot point that's been stuck there for a couple of decades of decision makers won't do certain things to fix those connections because it keeps coming up. You know, there's this, you know, path ends here and then, you know, dematerialise over there, those sort of things. Despite that, people are still riding. And again, you know, the pickup with e-bikes and all the rest of it, I just wanted to also mention there was a very good article in the ABC about, believe it or not, Barnaby Joyce's a bit of a decision he made back in 2021, and that's why we've got so many e-bikes and unfortunately e-motorbikes in Australia. It's a really interesting article. People are waking up to some detail there, but getting back to Fuji Roll, so I just went off on a tangent there. I'll pop that into the podcast description. It's like, Barnaby's rolling, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay, so where else have you done these sort of like a little kind of portraits of?
No, of course. Yeah, so basically they're just little clips of, yeah, anything that sort of catches my eye. It's really just to like take a bit of a break and slow down from the current social media consumption. It's meant to be like a bit of a peaceful short content, but in terms of other places, I basically record wherever I go. Recently got back from Sydney, and so I've got a Sydney sort of vlog coming out that I guess shows me cycling around Sydney, all the pretty streets. We were in Paddington, going for a quick coffee there with a couple of friends, and so yeah, very wholesome stuff. I'm going back to Wellington this weekend, so I'll get some content on what it's like to bike around there. And yeah, I, basically wherever I go, wherever I can get my hands on a bike, I record.
So Wellington would kind of be a good place for an e-bike because it can help flatten out those
e-bike
hills.
Would be good there. Yeah, I don't have one, so I'll be on the pushy. But yeah.
Is it
windy?
Yeah, I was about to say that. I thought it was... what, you hold on to every balustrade you go past?
Yeah, windy is an understatement. It is incredibly, incredibly windy, yeah.
So you kind of learn to brace when you're riding?
Yeah, there's some locations, especially like around the waterfront where there's no protection. Oof. That is a tough cycle. I'll be doing it this weekend for sure because it's beautiful. But if it's a windy day, you know, you'll be exerting a few watts, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that whatever's coming through the Great Australian Bight at the moment into Melbourne and Adelaide kind of blows through before you get there, because it's kind of looking a bit beastly out there at the moment.
Yeah, this afternoon.
Yeah, because I was just looking at, we're just going off track here, but I feel sorry for people in WA at the moment in terms of anyone who was riding around yesterday or trying to.
Yeah.
It's that kind of time of year where we get those northeast cloud bands. So if you're commuting home this afternoon, just keep an eye on the radar and any warnings, because if it gets above a certain K per hour, have a think.
Yeah, it definitely gets a bit dangerous.
Yeah. So how did you, got to do the ubiquitous, how did you get into cycling?
I've always cycled.
Yeah.
But I think it was really the move to Melbourne that, changed it for me. I cycle every single day to work. It's just from, I live in Clifton Hill, just down into the CBD. So it's not too far, almost 5Ks, to do that twice a day, but I just can't get enough. Yeah. Anywhere I go, if I can go by bike, I'd try and go by bike.
Yeah, because Clifton Hill, I was cruisy downhill. And then you have to wake up a little bit to... It's a very slight incline, but it's enough to make you... I can't just,
Yeah, that hill up to Smith Street, and then when you turn onto Gertrude as well.
Yeah. All that, you're talking about Langridge and Gertrude. Yeah, that's right. A cracker for the inner suburbs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a hill, but again, I'm sort of used to hills, so it doesn't really bother me. But there are some days, especially in summer when I get to work and, I'm a little bit hot and sweaty.
Yeah, because, if you got them, end-of-trip facilities are...
Exactly. Yeah. Luckily, we've got one of those. So.
Yeah, I got asked from, from Wellington, Lewis, how do you find our driver behaviour over here?
It's pretty aggressive, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, I actually expected more cars on the road, just being such a big city. But I don't notice the cars too often when I'm cycling. It is probably about once every few weeks that I'm almost hit on my way on into the city. Just by taxis or whatever pulling in. But, you just got to keep your wits about you and sort of foresee those things before they happen and give them a bit more space.
Yeah, and that's kind of also that thing. We get into this kind of people who think they know what cyclists need seem to think that we've got to share the road and I'm painting some very broad brushes here, and that somehow we're morally responsible for our road environment. What you've just said, you spend a fair bit of your time monitoring other people's behaviour because they can't be bothered monitoring theirs.
You have to.
And this is kind of builds into the thing of why people want protected infrastructure.
Yeah, totally. I think it would be a massive thing. But, you have to, especially early in the morning, it would be nice to just... go into the back of my mind and just cruise on my bike without having to think about getting hit. But it's a very real reality.
That's the thing about people's lived experience of trying to say that, you see all this kind of commentary of I know what's best for a rider, even though they don't. I've got no lived experience of everyone else is going to make amends around me. It's a real kind of a psychological sort of thing I'd like to go into depth about why people think this way. Everyone else has got to make amends. Let's actually design some better road environment.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Everyone can chill out.
That would be nice. That would be a dream, actually.
Yeah. So you mentioned you've got some projects coming up.
That's right, yeah. So I think at the moment, I've already finished it. I've got the Sydney vlog coming out soon. So again, just showcasing a bit what it's like to Sydney. It was my first time, so forgive me if... I haven't captured the uttermost scenes and signs of Sydney, but I thought it was quite a nice vlog. It's very chill. Nice coffee at the end as well. But and then coming up, we've got the Wellington trip, and then, of course, always Melbourne.
Yeah. You probably found Sydney kind of very intense. And the inner part is fascinating. And also we've got the Sydney cycleways as well around the east and all that around that area. But it's got so much history. And it's almost like, it's the whole thing of Australia is Sydney, but you kind of look at it and go, actually, there's quite a few things that people don't quite get about Sydney.
Yeah, for sure.
You looking at it with new eyes. What did you find, like, some of the kind of road designers?
Yeah, it was a lot of stopping and starting in Sydney. There wasn't much of a flow, at least where I was. And I guess the biggest shock was actually the hills. You know, I should have sort of known that it was a hilly city.
Yeah, there's those kind of short, sharp sandstone hills, I think.
Yeah, and beautiful, beautiful city. I love the ocean, especially having the ocean without the wind, like in Wellington. But yeah, it was quite a hilly place and had to stop more often than I would have liked, I think. But on the whole, God, it was beautiful.
Yeah, you got that harbour. But you didn't go on something like King Street, did you?
No.
Good. Yeah, I had an experience almost with a bus mirror on King Street a long time ago. It's just like, literally, this is, I'm a pedestrian.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. Yeah, it's pretty busy.
Pretty frenetic. So how can people find out more about Fuji Roll and all the stuff you're up to?
Yeah. Well, my primary channel is Instagram, but like I said, I'm on TikTok and YouTube as well. My handle on all of those platforms is Fuji_Roll_. So yeah, that's my handle. And the name originates because I ride a Fuji, so... There you go.
I was starting to think it was some type of throwback to when we have Fuji film, because...
Yeah, I do get a bit confused with Fuji film, especially because I also like to shoot on the cameras and things, so...
Yeah, because, you know, Tim and that the previous guest started talking about, like, you know, using rolls of film, and I thought, oh my God, we're going to start talking about Kodachrome and Ilford, and everyone's getting back into that, because that's how I started off, was actually when film was a physical asset. Now it's a digital asset. It's kind of, it's fascinating to see, like, you know, people oscillate between the mediums.
Yeah. I think definitely, but I can see why it's coming back. I think, you know, there's the real trend of taking your time and being considerate and paying attention to details, which I think is sort of encouraged when you use film, so...
Because it's physical.
Yeah, it's physical.
Physical. And I love hearing this, because I keep on reading AI horror stories of, you know, people kind of going off and acting upon something. It really is an AI hallucination.
Yeah. It's coming. It's on the horizon.
Oh, I think we need a butt A-I-N-G head myself, but yeah. I think I pronounced that correctly. You know June?
June, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Or Terminator, you know.
Yeah.
Skynet.
This was a joke. We are talking in jest. We really do need to touch base and touch grass with reality, and this is what, you know these great reels that you're doing, and that's content you're putting out.
That's
shows.
Right. Yeah. It's more just, you know, reminding people to get off the phone, even though, you know, it's sort of counterintuitive. You're watching it, but it sort of reminds you to get outside and appreciate the beauty of things that you otherwise normally wouldn't, I think.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, this is... Not quite swearing, but it just reminds me of some of the bike packing stuff of, like, up yours indoors sort of stuff. You know, it's that bike packing, again, still having a massive, you know.
It's huge. Thing.
And people just getting out and realising that, wow, you know, the environment exists.
And
actually my own company and someone else's company is some of the best things you can ever experience.
Yeah, it's really special. So, and I'd love to do some bike packing content. I just need to get the gear first.
Yeah. So... Anything you'd like to finish up on? Any kind of anecdote or
anything inspirational?
Yeah, go for your life.
Honestly, I don't have anything inspirational to say, but massive thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to staying in contact with the Melbourne cycling community and keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse, it's pretty big, and there's always things happening. Like, you know, this show, I was just also saying, previous guest and yourself, we've been on air since about 2008, and I don't even think we begin to cover it, because, look, this show's about kind of like, you know, ventures, commuting, advocacy, what's going on at a government or local government level. We don't even touch upon any of the sports stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another huge universe out there. Like, yeah, the Giro is on at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
You know, sitting up watching that. And, you know, it's just... cycling, if you really wanted to, you can just, like, this is my whole life. I've got this for, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been great having you in the studio today, Michael.
Thank you very much.
And I really think we should have you back in for another catch-up interview at some point.
Yeah. Well, just let me know whenever you need me. We'll be right back.
Saturday. Birds are calling out my name and they're telling me to leave my bed. Drink a coffee for my head. Cereal and radio. Miss the sun saying hello. And I pick some clothes from my wardrobe. Get the bike from out the shed. Let the wheels go round and round. I'm pulling up at your house. And I say nervously, come and take a ride with me. I like riding my bike. You behind holding me tight. Then nothing ever felt so right. With you I could do this all day. I like the sun on my face. Feeling your hands on my waist. Then nothing ever felt so right. With you I could do this all day. Doggies bark and the kids with plasters on their knees playing hide and seek. Let the wheels go round and round, the pedals go up and down. As I speed up, you scream. I love it when you ride with me.
Like so many community organizations, we need your continued financial support to keep 3CR on air and our community connected and strong.
Consider selecting Auto Renew for your subscription so your subscription keeps rolling on every year.
We love the security of knowing we have your support into the future.
Head to 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 and remember to select recurring for your annual subscription.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.